This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Laura Kristen, who is living her dream through songwriting. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thanks.
Let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
All right. Well, I was originally from Virginia, moved to North Carolina for a couple years after college, and so was a Southern girl for most of my life. The day after my 29th birthday, I moved to New York City, and I'm a musician, and I'm living the dream in New York.
So what would you say songwriting means to you?
Songwriting for me is just a way to express how I'm feeling about certain things. It's a way to connect with people. And it's a really special gift that not a lot of people get to experience, you know, singing an original song and really connecting with the large audience.
What would you say inspires you?
Oh, man. It could be anything from a friend making me smile to hearing a musician who has, you know, practiced their heart off. It can really be pretty much anything.
So right now you're working on a project, right?
Right. It's called the 313 Creative, and I'll be writing one song a day, 6 days a week for an entire year. It started on July 7th of this year, which was my 30th birthday. And naturally, leading up to my 30th birthday, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do something with my life. So I decided that I would embark upon this crazy project. And I'm not sure I realized at the time that it would take such a rearranging of my priorities, but it's definitely been worth it. So far, I have written 18 songs in 3 weeks, and I'm excited to keep going.
How did your passion for music come about?
Well, I started playing piano when I was 6 years old. Was in first grade, and I just took to it very naturally. I would memorize pieces really quickly and just play them with my eyes shut, and I think my mom knew pretty early on that there was something just a little special about my musical abilities above and beyond just a kid that could play the piano. And I had some really good teachers that even when I wanted to quit, like in eighth and ninth grade, I got a little disinterested, I think. They pushed me and really encouraged me to keep going. And then I got a full scholarship to go to college to study organ performance. So that kind of solidified the music theory knowledge, I guess. And now the passion is still going strong.
And how did your dream of writing 313 songs come about?
Well, I've been a songwriter since I was about 22 years old, I guess. I was in a Christian band for 3 years called Zechariah's Song. And then I tried to do like a solo thing for a year or two before I moved to New York City. So I've been writing songs at a pretty large amount of songs too. I mean, I think I wrote 150 of them for the band. We didn't end up using all of them, but you know, when you're trying to record albums and stuff, you have to have a really high output of material, even if only 15 of them get used. Then I worked as a songwriter for a church in Virginia, and they had about 1,500 members a week coming to the services. So I got to do some original songs in front of some pretty large audiences. And I kind of became known as the girl that could make people cry. So that was exciting. It's a really huge privilege to be able to connect with an audience in an emotional way. And it's something that I think even for musicians, because that's the ultimate reward as a musician, is knowing that you've connected with somebody through this creative outlet. So it's really fulfilling, for sure.
So you kind of mentioned your mom supporting you in your musical talents. How was it received by the rest of your family?
Well, my family has known for a pretty long time that I wanted to be a songwriter. It's funny because I started out as an organist, and I don't play the organ anymore, which my mom is still kind of bummed about because I was pretty good at it, but I just wasn't enjoying it like I enjoy songwriting. The rest of my family has been really encouraging. I think my brother, he's quite a bit younger than me. He's only 17, so he's 12 years younger than me. But I think he's actually going to come up and play harmonica and guitar on some tracks soon. So my brother is musical as well, so he's excited. And my uncle has always encouraged me to go for my dream. He actually, even when it meant sitting me down and telling me I shouldn't be wearing just t-shirts and jeans to gigs, and you know, so he was kind of pushing me towards my dream, but being really honest and brutally blunt sometimes about, you know, the things I really needed to do if I was serious about my dream. But I can honestly say that it made me a better musician, a better professional. I definitely am really grateful for all the support. And then my grandma has been awesome too. She helped me out in order to come to New York City. So I pretty much have support from my family all the way around, which is extremely fortunate.
Yeah, it's really nice when all that can come together.
Yeah.
What steps did you take to get started? I mean, you mentioned that you took a lot of classes for music growing up, mm-hmm. but what steps did you personally take to get better?
Well, it's definitely the amount of time that you spend practicing at home. I mean, I'm a piano teacher now, and it's funny because looking back, I wish I had practiced so much more, because you can only help a kid improve so much in 1 hour that you're with them a week. So ultimately, it's the amount of time that you put in when you're at home. And so, you know, I just spent a lot of time playing. I mean, that's my advice to anybody trying to get better at an instrument, is really just put in the time. And if you practice and really learn your instrument and your craft, then you'll improve really fast, and it'll be so rewarding that you'll be excited and want to keep doing it.
And what steps did you take when you decide you wanted to write 313 songs?
First, I made sure all my friends were musicians. I've had to really prioritize my time, because going to the gym and eating healthy are things that are also important to me. But since I work a full-time job and I teach, I have 4-hour-long piano lessons a week that I teach. And in New York City, the transportation can be pretty time consuming sometimes, from to and from piano lessons and all that. So sometimes I have to wake up really early, and sometimes I'm up really late, and sometimes I'm writing lyrics on the subway ride on the way home. But pretty much just making sure that my absolute priority was setting aside 2 to 3 hours a day to write and then perform it for the video and then upload it to YouTube. It was mainly just prioritizing my time, even to the point where with my vacation, I went to Atlantic City with a friend of mine named Katie, and she's a songwriter as well. So we actually took all of our recording gear, got to play with my new microphones. So I was really excited about that. I think we only spent maybe 2 hours on the beach, 2 or 3 hours on the beach in the 3 days we were there. But we got 3 really cool songs out of it, and it felt really good to accomplish a goal. And it was awesome knowing that my friend was willing to be a part of my project and support me. And that kind of friendship and support really means a lot. And you remember that down the line, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. The question I have is did you start before you started, or are you literally writing and recording a song every single day except for Sundays?
I am literally writing and recording a song every day except for Sundays. I have no idea what song I'm going to write tomorrow. And the thing is, I'm trying not to be too legalistic about it. If I'm having a hard time coming up with a song, or there is a song that my bandmate and I used to do towards the end of our time together as a band, and we never recorded. So when she comes to visit me in August, I may recycle that song and see if she can sing it with me real quick just to get it on the internet, because it was just a really powerful song and she nailed it singing it. So, you know, I'm not going to say that they'll always every day be brand new, but so far all 18 of them have come from just the circumstances of the day. And I think it keeps it fresh and it keeps me on my toes. And just the one from last night, I had to look up some Hawaiian ukulele chord progressions on the internet and say, man, I know I have this down in my head, but I'm not sure how to play it, because I just started playing ukulele like a month ago. I think it's turned into my favorite instrument, so that's exciting.
Well, what other tools do you use?
I have a guitar and I have my keyboard. I have a bass guitar, but I haven't used that yet. It takes a lot of time to actually layer tracks, so I can only really do that on my day off from my full-time job. So we did that for one of the songs that we recorded in Atlantic City, and then I did it on the song I recorded last Tuesday. I think it's song number 15, about, it's called Until It's One of Us. So those are the songs I was able to actually use computer software. And then I was able to use my blue baby bottle microphone. I'm a little bit of a pro audio nerd because I worked for Guitar Center and Pro Audio. So I've gotten to try out my new equipment. I use a Focusrite Forte interface, which has some really good quality microphone preamps. Yeah, so that's pretty much, it's a very simple setup. And I just use a Zoom Q4 HD camera. So I was just trying to keep it simple and doable. My ultimate goal is authenticity, and I think people are really craving something genuine these days. And so, you know, you don't have to have fancy equipment to really pursue your dream.
No, I would agree. If you can't make it happen on the cheap, you know, adding money and more equipment isn't necessarily going to make it work for you.
Exactly. Sometimes being creative comes out of situations where you really don't have a lot to work with, and you have to make do with what you have. And sometimes that's when the most creative stuff really happens.
So you just recently moved to New York, didn't you?
Yeah, it was about a year ago. So I just packed a suitcase and a duffel bag. I'm like one of those stories from the movies where you show up to Penn Station and you're like, all right, I'm ready to start my life. Why didn't I bring more clothes? It's definitely been a journey. But it actually, for me, it started once I started embarking on my solo career. I actually had bought a bus. It was a 32-passenger shuttle bus. It was kind of just a leap of faith. I knew that I wanted to be a musician and that my ultimate goal is to tour, and I wanted to kind of train myself for that lifestyle and be ready if a tour presented itself. I know that's kind of an extreme way to do it, but I bought a bus and lived on my uncle's patio in that bus from, I think, April until November 1st. And I remember that November 1st date because it got down to be 40 degrees outside. And I said, I love you, bus, but I like the warmth of the indoors. So the reason that I got the bus was because I wanted to just really pare down all of my belongings and everything so I would be free to just go. And I think that was one of the best decisions that I had made, actually. I ended up selling the bus once I moved to New York City. So it was, in a way, it felt like I was watching my dreams drive away. Because I was like, oh, no tour bus. What am I going to do? But hopefully there will be a tour bus in my future that someone else will pay for. That's what I'm hoping.
And has heat.
Yeah, exactly. Heat, maybe a bathroom would be awesome.
So what roadblocks have you hit along the way?
Oh, man. What roadblocks? Well, definitely, that's a tough one. I would say finding a roommate, because I actually have an apartment where I have a 2-bedroom apartment, and I'm the only one on the lease. So I can have roommates whenever I want to. But that means that if I have somebody temporarily, then that means when they go, I have to find another person. And it's like, ah. So I would say definitely finding a roommate in New York City. The way I got my apartment was just a huge blessing. I know typically New York apartments are really tough to find, but that's not even a roadblock because this one just kind of fell into my lap. I saw it on Craigslist and I said, that is my apartment. I know it. I emailed the realtor. Closed the laptop, went to sleep, and within a week, I was signing a lease for my apartment. So it's been an awesome journey. The retail job, working on your feet all day, I think that is one of the toughest. And then all the subway stabs and just the nature of it physically, definitely probably more exhausted than I've ever been in my life, but in a good way.
Well, what are some of the ways you overcome that?
Really being intentional about resting. So on Tuesday, I will not be going anywhere because it's my day off from my retail job. And so I won't even teach a piano lesson that day. I just make sure that I have one day a week where I do not go on public transportation. Because sometimes people can be crazy on the subway and you just need a break from that. And I definitely do believe in, you know, honoring the Sabbath, like the biblical principle, and so it's definitely served me well. So that's one of the things that's helped me to stay focused and to stay rested. And then also trying to get to bed at a reasonable hour is important. And still getting workouts in, even though you don't think you can stand up for another minute.
So you've kind of touched on it already, but what disappointments have you come across along the way?
I think realizing that really the only person who is going to be promoting me and my music is me, because sometimes as musicians, we don't want to take care of the business aspect of our craft, and we just want to let somebody else manage our affairs and do our bookings for us. And put that in someone else's hands. But ultimately, nobody cares about your music as much as you do. So I think that until you really have the money to be able to put behind making it worthwhile for somebody to invest in you like that, then you just really have to take it upon yourself to make contacts and to be your own promoter. So in my case, it was having an outlet for this music. And I mean, I've already gotten a pretty decent amount of views in the first 3 weeks, which is really encouraging. I didn't do a lot of marketing for it because I wasn't 100% sure I'd be able to do it. So I was like, I don't know if I want to just tell everyone that I'm going to write a song a day until I'm actually doing it. And so now that I have 18 songs under my belt, I feel like, okay, this is doable. This is decently sustainable as long as I'm really careful about making sure I stay well rested. So I'd say that probably one of the biggest disappointments is just realizing that just because you have a pretty voice doesn't mean people are going to go to bat for you.
Yeah, I think that's true with pretty much anything.
Yeah.
not just music, unfortunately. What would you say the best three concerts you've ever been to were?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. I'd say Israel Houghton. He was a fantastic performer, really connected with the audience and told his story. I went to that concert in North Carolina. It was actually a couple of years ago, but I still remember the fact that I believe the story went like his mom was going to abort him, but then decided not to. And then now he's this crazy famous musician traveling and sharing about God and really having an effect on people's lives. And so that was a really powerful concert. I got to go to Carnegie Hall a couple weeks ago for free to see a classical pianist play. And that was so memorable. I mean, just the fact that I just got handed those tickets 4 hours before the concert. And someone just said, hey, I thought you might like to go. And I was like, what? So literally 4 hours later, I find myself in the front row of Carnegie Hall. And the funny thing was, I just feel like I have sometimes you have desires that you don't even know you have. I would have felt like guilty almost, like selfish, asking God for like front row tickets to Carnegie Hall. And then somehow I find myself there and I'm like, whoa, it's just been such an awesome adventure so far in this city. So that one was really memorable. And then the third one, I'd say, is probably one that I haven't been to yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be epic. I get to go on August 7th to see The Roots at the Best Buy Theater in New York City. And I got that because I'm doing a good job at work. So really excited to go see The Roots. So that's probably going to be my next favorite concert.
I would say it's pretty much in the bag.
Yeah, they're VIP tickets too, I think. So I'm not sure what VIP means exactly, but it's probably going to be a fantastic memory.
So with that said, can you share a favorite memory?
One of my favorite memories was getting to perform in front of 10,000 people in Richmond. They did a thing called the Gospel Fest, where a lot of some big name gospel acts and then some smaller local acts. It was an outside concert, and they announced later that the overall attendance was over 10,000 people. And so I got to play an original song with my band member, and I played keys. But the crazy thing was the middle E on the piano was not working. And so when you sit down at this keyboard that you've never played before in front of 10,000 people and realize a key in the middle of the keyboard is not working, you kind of have a freak out moment. But then you just realize you have to overcome it. So I ended up actually avoiding that key the whole time, but not messing up any other notes. And I was kind of excited about that. So that was one of my favorite memories for sure.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
I'd say my ultimate dream is to be able to subsist solely from songwriting. I do have the best coworkers in the world, so I'm not saying that I'd want to leave the retail job. But I'm not sure my feet can handle standing up for the next 15 years of my life like that. So, yeah, my goal is to subsist solely from my songwriting. And I think it's definitely looking more possible than ever before. And I also want to just inspire other people to start songwriting as well. Because I think that it's kind of a weird shift right now that's going on in the music industry where all of one or all of the other, where you're kind of all of this one creative mastermind, or everyone's just writing everything for you, and you're extremely packaged, if that makes sense. So I just want to kind of say you can just be yourself and put your music out there and just learn as much as you can and get as excellent as you possibly can at your craft. And then aside from that, just put it out there and just be yourself.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I'd say that sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that a dream is going to be easy or it's going to be fun all the time. I would pose the thought that really if there's not some sort of sacrifice involved, you're probably not dreaming hard enough. So for me, it was getting rid of almost all of my possessions and being able to move to New York with a suitcase and a duffel bag and live like that for several months before my mom came with a load of some instruments and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, it may take a large amount of sacrifice. And when people say, oh man, I wish I had your talent, or I wish I was doing what you were, sometimes you just look at them and say, I'm not sure you could have handled 40 degree nights on a bus. Dreams take a lot of work and a lot of dedication. And you just have to stick with it when it gets hard.
So would you like to plug your websites and let people know how to connect with you?
Sure. My website is www.the313creative.com. And I upload the new song to the front page of that every day. On the next page, the daily video page, I do a little description of the song, which is usually different than the one that ends up in YouTube forever. So if you want the inside scoop on the video, you can check out the daily video tab. And then you can also check out the collection of videos there, some of my favorites. And if you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel is The 313 Creative. Twitter, I am simply Laura K. I didn't make a 313 Creative Twitter feed because I figured I would keep that at my artist name. So simply Laura and the letter K. Facebook pages, yes, facebook.com/simplylauraK. And also my personal Facebook page is Laura, and my last name, which is impossible to spell, so you might have to link to it.
Well, all this will be in the show notes at howtodream.co.
Awesome.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time, Laura, to come on the show and tell us about your project. And I hope people check it out. I know I enjoy the songs. They're cute. And you can tell that it's genuine and that you did it like on the fly. You know, not in a bad way, though. You know, not in a, oh, man, she really only put half it, you know.
Right, right.
Half thought into it.
Yeah.
But in a way that's like, hey, you know, they are simple because you only had maybe 3-4 hours of really working on it. So,
right.
But that's the challenge. And I think it's really neat that you put yourself into it. And, you know, at worst case, you could probably write a book after the fact.
I know. Go speak about how to do something crazy for a year where you lose all your friends because you just spend all day long in your apartment writing songs.
You never know what will lead till you do it.
Exactly. So far, it's been cool. I met you.
That's true.
There you go.
Well, again, thank you very much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.